Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True, straight up.
That's right. Hey, well, Colorado's gold standard election system, as it turns out, is once again shockingly tarnished. We just had the primary election in Colorado, right? And they always do audits after this. And so the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, puts out this glowing press release: statewide bipartisan post-election audit complete. Colorado's bipartisan risk limiting audit is complete and has confirmed that the 2026 primary election results were counted accurately. Year after year, the audit has shown that Colorado's election model is accurate and secure. Colorado counties completed the statewide post-election audit on July 15th, and then I put out this glowing press release. So take that, all you election deniers. There's only one problem with it, of course. It's not true, right? We know of at least one county, Arapahoe County, pretty big county, exactly, that did not complete the audit because the Secretary of State's office either couldn't or wouldn't give them the information that they needed to do the audit. But that doesn't stop Jenna Griswold from putting out a press
release. Whether they got the information or not, doesn't matter.
That's right. It's my truth. My truth is, who stinking audits aside. So here's what happened. I've spent a lot of time on the phone today with folks in Arapahoe County, including the great chair there, John Temple, who says, Republican Party chair, who says, I'm not going to certify this election. It's a farce. So the way it works is, after the election, they call them risk limiting audits. And here's how that works. Every ballot has a specific identification number on it. It's like a barcode. That's an ID number. Now, it's not tied to a person, right? They can't tell who voted, but there's a specific number, ID number on the ballot. And the way the audit works is the Secretary of State sort of randomly, theoretically, draws a number of ballots, it seems like roughly 100, from each county. And so then the counties get the numbers of the ballot. And then people, volunteers from each party go on, and I think they did this on July 15th. And what they do is they actually pull the physical paper ballot that the county has kept there. And then they compare it to the Secretary of State's office's computer record of it, right? So they look at the paper ballot compared to the computer record and they see if they match, right? Seems pretty straightforward. Well, I talked to one of the Republican representatives who was there in Arapahoe County, and it sounds like there were roughly 20 people there on the 15th. They all show up and they're going to compare the paper ballot to the computer record of the ballot, make sure they match, or, you know, if they don't match, then they go have steps from there. And she said they were all there, and she was with her Democrat partner, and they had pulled the physical ballot, so they had them all right there, ready to go. She said she thinks they had roughly 20. And then she says some very nervous-looking election officials kind of wander in and say there's some sort of problem. It's not clear what, but they're not going to be able to get them the computer-generated ballot record. Right?
No problem.
So everyone goes home. They sent everyone home. they tried to say, well, maybe there was an issue with some counties, but there was no explanation. And then she said the next thing they know, they get this release saying the audit's complete, everything's right. It's just fine.
And she's going to be the next AG, so you're all...
Yeah, Jenna Griswold. So should we need an investigation of this? So to me, it's like, I mean, okay, if it's corrupt and the system's corrupt, let's just say it. Let's not even pretend to do audits, right? If the whole point of the audit is to let the volunteers, these bipartisan volunteers, compare the physical paper ballot with the computer-generated record, right, and see if they match. That's how you do an audit, right?
Well, no, that's really not how you do it. All that checks is whether the machine changed the vote.
Right.
Well, that's not how the fraud occurs in Colorado.
Well,
all the mail balloting and everything else that goes with the fraud None of that.
It's a separate issue. I'm not talking about the fraud. I'm just talking about for this purposes, the whole point of doing this exercise is for, theoretically, these bipartisan watchers to make sure that the paper ballot, well, just compare the paper ballot to the computer number. So if you're not going to show them one half of the equation, you can't come to any conclusion, right? But somehow Jenna Griswold did. And there was no explanation. It was just, well, at least a vague explanation. Well, and here's my thing with this. To me, this is a big deal. People may say, oh, Julie, you know, you're getting bogged down in election stuff. Here's the thing. President Trump just did this whole big news conference, right, talking about election integrity. If you can't trust the election system in this country, there's not much. I mean, that's sort of the foundation, right? It's a representative government. We elect people. And if we can't trust that the people we're voting for are actually the ones getting elected, then the whole system falls apart. And you have the Democrats with all of their problems. I mean, the networks didn't even want to cover it, right? And they, you know, the Denver Post, Trump continuing election denier kind of claims, right? And then they pull this kind of stuff. And here's the thing, I'm going to give John Temple a lot of credit. He says they're not going to certify it. Now look what happened to Tina Peters when she started asking questions, right? It's like, yeah, they don't, well, and they don't care because Colorado changed the law too, right? So now it doesn't matter if the county certify the election or not. Jenna Griswold certifies it. So, which is also equally stupid. But it makes you wonder why. Why are they doing that, right? If we really do have the gold standard, and we'll talk about your issues of fraud in a second, but if we really do have the gold standard, right, or even close, let's say if you even have like the mahogany standard or whatever, silver tin standard, it shouldn't be that complicated. They have the whole system set up. And Colorado, if you go online and search a risk-limiting audit, Colorado takes a lot of credit for coming up with this in 2017. So they could say, see, we compared them, right? But if you don't let the counties compare them for reasons that are unclear, but then announce that the system worked, that's just incredibly stupid, don't you think?
No, because it's like everything else in the state. I mean, it's not anything particularly new. But you don't know whether illegal aliens voted.
This is what Jacob's pointing out. Did the audit include how many voters were cast by non-residents or dead and non-citizens? No. I mean, and that's my thing, right? Not my thing. That's one of my things. And I guess that's my point is like, we're not even addressing all of the other areas of fraud that need to be addressed or potential fraud that need to be addressed and sort of shored up. This is the most basic thing, right? This is the most basic, simple thing, right? It doesn't accuse anyone of fraud. It doesn't do anything. And the way it works is, I think if it's like, if there's more than 3% of the ballots don't match, then they draw a bigger batch and it's not clear what happens.
Then they should have there.
Put out the press release. They just delayed a day or two. But this is, and so why, it makes me incredibly skeptical. And I was skeptical already given the fraud. But it's like, if they can't even let the counties do the audit, and who knows how many other, I talked to Peg Cage in Boulder, and she said that her people told her that they had all of the information from the Secretary of State's office that they needed.
So some counties did, some counties didn't.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly. Because it doesn't really matter because we're going to certify it anyway, and we're going to declare it a success whether we have any
and
idea.
The Republicans, most of them, the non-John Temples of the world, go, yay, it's a gold standard.
We're talking about it.
Yeah.
And quit talking about it, you election denier. So, but here's what's interesting. I asked John Temple, I said, okay, so they wouldn't let Arapahoe County, one of the biggest counties, they wouldn't let the citizens compare the paper ballot with the computer record of the ballot. I said, who won the governor's race? Because that was a pretty tight race, right? And he said it was kind of split between Barb Kirkmeyer and Victor Marks. And he said, but he personally was kind of surprised or very surprised, he said, by the few votes that Scott Bottoms got. He said, I would have assumed that Scott Bottoms would have received more votes in Arapahoe County than he did. He said, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But here again, this just gets to it. You had a race where it was decided by, what, less than 900 votes?
Really small.
A really small margin. It didn't trigger a recount. But that's why, at the very least, this most basic audit, you would think that the Secretary of State's office would not want to mess with, and yet she did, right? And there's and the thing is, in Colorado, you have no recourse, really, do you?
No.
I mean, so John Temple can write letters to the county commissioners. That what the clerk is a Democrat, right?
Yes.
So, I, you know, Yeah, and then again, then they beat us on the head and say, "Oh, you have to have confidence. You can't question anything." And then they pull this kind of stuff. And like you said, that they found out in New Jersey, all of these nonsense. I mean, the problems they had in New Jersey are similar here. I mean, but Jenna Griswold sent out 30,000 notices to people who are not residents to vote. It wasn't like 6,000, right? And they don't clean that up. And remember, we've done stories or talked with before, but Catherine Engelbrecht, is that her name, at True the Vote. And she talks about the fraud being this massive, like, octopus with tentacles, right? You've got people paying homeless people in California for ballots. You've got people collecting ballots in Michigan, right? Just going into low-income housing places, right? And just collecting ballots. And they're getting paid for each ballot they collect. They're not filled out. Then they take into places and fill it out. Then you have people doing illegal ballot harvesting, right? Collecting a bunch of ballots. You have people registering. And Mike McDonald has done a great job on X of showing, you know, he'll have dozens of people registered to vote at a house who haven't lived there like ever, some of them, and yet that house is still getting ballots. And the fact that the house is still getting ballots means that someone's voting those ballots, right? Otherwise they wouldn't be sending them out.
Well, the ballots are not being rejected, and after I forget how many elections you don't vote, then you get put on the inactive ballot.
Mm-hmm. But if you're still getting the ballot years later, if the house is still getting the ballots, right, that means somebody is keeping those voters' registrations active, not the registered voter.
Well, there you go.
I mean, because the registered voter.
One of the things you'd want to do with the signatures, and, you know, comparing the signature to the record of the Secretary of State. Now, of course, you know, how many chances is that Jenna Griswold would criminally provide a Democratic operative their computer file showing the signatures so that somebody could, you know.
Right.
You know, she's not, nothing's beyond her. She's just a total crook.
Well, like I said, to me, that's what's the most appalling thing about this. This, the whole point of the risk liberty audit is to show that the paper ballot matched a computer record, right? At least in this random sample. So why not just do that? I'm guessing.
Because it's a pain.
But then why even do it then, right? Why not just say, we're not even going to pretend to do it?
Because they pretend. You get to do the pretend game. And is the Denver Post or anybody going to dispute it?
No. And is anyone going to, I mean, and I gather, and if you're the county chair, like you said, and again, great job to John Temple and his people down there saying they're not going to certify it because of this, right? And he wants some answers. And like I said, we
won't get him.
He won't get him. And we saw what happened again with Tina Peters to people and Ash Epp.
Yeah,
right? Ash Epp, who was prosecuted and won her case for trying to raise questions about who was actually casting ballots.
Right.
But here, the fact that, and then they just
pretend. That really demonstrates to you, do you think the elections are crooked? So Ash Epp and a group of people go out, and they go to people's homes, and they say, we're just checking, did you vote? You're listed as voting, did you vote? And if they said no, did you know anybody? You know, then that's a big deal, right? Well, that's a threat, right? It's a threat to the NAACP. It's a threat to
the people are actually black.
Well, no.
And even though no one actually complained, right?
Right. And so you get the NAACP, you get League of Women Voters, all civil and huge for huge fines and huge money. Why? Well, why would you be so terrified for people to go out and ask people if they voted or not? Because they probably, some didn't, and they don't. They want to stop you from doing it.
Right.
And I have to say, you know, crooked elections are as America's apple pie in cities in New York, Boston, Chicago, down south, all controlled by Democrats, because Democrats are cheaters. They're born cheaters. They live to cheat. And so they're going to cheat. They don't care whether it's Atlanta. Michigan is now, they're looking at Wayne County and everything else. Arizona, Maricopa County, and they do anything to stop people from checking.
Right.
They'll do anything to stop people from checking.
Well, and then when they do check, when they set up a system to check,
they
sabotage the system. So the system can't work, so you actually can't check, and everyone just go home. It's like...
Well, you know, I mean, I guess I'm a little encouraged, and I shouldn't be, but, you know, they are attaching the Save America Act to the budget that has to pass. And it looks like we'll try to get it through the House today or tomorrow. If they do that, it goes up to the Senate. All you need is 50 votes, so you can lose three. You've definitely lost Murkowski, but who knows who else? McConnell, who, et cetera, Tillis. But if you got 50 votes and so forth, then Colorado elections would be honest because they wouldn't
I
allow
mean,
mail-in
more on
voting.
us, right? Well, and this from Jacob, there's an easy fix to voters who moved away. When the state of Colorado gets the information that a former Coloradan was issued a new license in a different state, the Colorado Department of Revenue should tell the SOS that the person no longer lives in Colorado, sort of a motor voter in reverse. Well, Jacob, that's an interesting point to raise because there indeed is such a system set up. Is it called ERIC? But the George Soros-funded secretaries of state, like Jenna Griswold, there's an interstate compact, right, where the states exchange that information so they can purge the voters from the roll. Colorado under the, it was before Jenna Griswold, but Colorado has pulled out of that compact.
But Griswold was compromised. I mean, ERIC was compromised itself. They don't do much,
Right, yeah.
it was supposed to be, okay, somebody might actually do a real audit and things, and we got to make sure we control it.
So
And that's a
George Soros,
bullshit. Yeah, by Soros.
so there was such a thing, and Colorado intentionally, specifically pulled out of that. So we'll be following this. So one of the things, because this kind of started happening later this morning, and I'm going to try to find out if this happened in other counties, right? And if John Temple gets any kind of answer or any kind of, I'm sure he
They
won't,
won't.
explanation. No, it's like, John, read the press release. We already put out a press release. We're not doing another press release. And meanwhile, we've got Ray Garcia, I see, is here. Should we bring him? Ray,
Yes.
I don't, just tell me you can't in the messages. But the Colorado Hispanic Republican chairman, Raymond Garcia, who he and Eric Grossman, essentially, while the Rhinos and Craig Steiner chair twiddled their thumbs and did nothing about Steve Klendes stealing all of the party money, continued to pursue it and fought, and they won. The judge reversed or vacated her order saying Klendes gets all
Thanks
the
to
money.
Pickett, the one, the lawyer
The
who they
lawyer,
fired, who.
who Steiner fired. So Ray, are you listening? Are you there at all? You want to come on? Oh, yay. So first, like I said, congratulations to you, and thank you for doing that. Because if you guys hadn't acted, I'm sure Clinda would have all the money by now, right?
No, he wouldn't have all the money
We'd be
because
getting it. Yeah.
well, he would have the money we had, but
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So why don't you explain? So what did the judge do, and why is that such good news?
So on my case, the judge ha we the judge hasn't ruled on my case yet. The judge ruled against the case that Clenda had filed. Well, if you remember when Britta resigned but said she wasn't leaving till the 17th, the reason she did that is so that Clenda could take the Colorado GOP to court, claiming that they owed him $230,000
No one was
plus 18%
disputing.
interest.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
And Brutus said, yep, we do.
Yeah, it
And
was the
Britta
line.
agreed.
There's no dispute about it.
Yeah, Britta agreed. So after Britta left and Eric found out about all this stuff when he was chair pro tem, he went to court and challenged that ruling, saying that no, that can't be possible because of all this. And he cited that in my case, we had sued Britta, Clenda, Keck. Way back in January.
Right.
So the money that he claims that we owed him, we already have a case saying that no, we don't owe him that. And that case is still ongoing. So this now, the judge for Clenda's case came back after seeing that and said, oh, well, no, there is a case already pending on this. So your case is now dismissed. You're gone.
But
So,
he didn't say that. He would, what
well,
he
now,
said, why shouldn't I transfer it over
well, he
to
vacated the judgment.
He vacated the
He
judgment.
vacated the
I would
judgment. That's
transfer
right.
it over.
Right.
I'll give you 14 days to tell me why I should or shouldn't.
Well, and in the meantime, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to go here, but I've been kind of annoyed that Craig Steiner, who basically lied to us to get himself elected because he's not really for the opt-out, well, he told us he showed this alarming lack of concern about Clenda being able to take. I mean, if it hadn't been for you, your lawsuit, and Eric continuing to push this, I mean, Steiner and the Rhinos were doing nothing about it, basically, were
Yeah.
they?
No, they weren't. They don't want to. In my opinion, it looks like he just wants to pay him off. He
Yeah.
wants to pay off Linda. And that and if, and to my that's not Craig's money. That's the Colorado GOP's money.
Good
So
point.
him saying he just wants to pay it off, he's spending our money.
Yeah.
You know,
Well,
so
and
I
Clenda, tried to steal our money. It's like, why would we want to give him? In fact, we could argue we think he owes us money back, right? From what we've already paid him.
And he should be brought to justice over all this, losing his license and facing some serious fines, maybe in jail time. I don't know, but he deserves some serious repercussions for all his actions.
Well, and the problem now is, you know, if you're just kind of reading the tea leaves, with the way Steiner does things, is that they will claim that they don't want the case transferred over to the other court for various reasons. And I'm not sure Clinton will agree or not agree. But then they'll, you know, they won't really file a true answer. They'll find some half-ass answer. They won't do the counterclaims. They won't do the cross claims of civil conspiracy and fraud. They won't do all the things that any competent one, and you know, Steiner should demand of his attorneys, who he won't tell us who they are. He says, well, you know, Clinton's not it. And he was on, I don't know what show. He said, I can't really tell you. He can't tell you anything.
He was on the Hispanic Patriot podcast.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's disgraceful. It's just disgraceful. Can't tell you. And you know,
you're exactly right. That's what he said. He was like, well, I can't tell you that.
One of the hosts said, yeah, but you said we didn't have a counsel. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I'll check who's behind, you know, who we're consulting. Who are you consulting? Oh, I can't tell you. I mean, you know, one of the best questions is transparency. Are you for transparency? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I just can't tell you anything.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's comical. This whole situation is just comical.
All right. Your final thoughts.
What you are doing, as I understand, filing a motion to intervene in the Clinton case, which will drive whatever attorneys he's using and Steiner crazy, because they don't want to let people know what they're up to. And unless somebody's in there as one of the parties, is an intervener or the plaintiff or defendant, you won't know what's going on until it's too late. You get your motion to intervene in, at least how he's trying to sell out the party.
We'll know.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting because he's not even talking to me, and I'm the one that has the case here.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, yeah. Kind of, talk to my attorney. Who's that? I can't tell you.
I can't tell you. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll let you go because I know you weren't planning on being there, but thank you for that update.
Yeah.
And once again, thank you for, at least for now, saving the Republican Party while the chair and the establishment people were just willing to kill it. So thank you.
Trying to.
Yes. Yes. We're not going to let him, though. Thanks, Ray.
Take care, Ray.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yep. Wanted to talk about one other thing. Chuck had, and the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle had a great column or article, actually.
Front page article.
Talking about, and I bet pretty much anybody listening to us either knows somebody or has had this happen themselves, that huge increase in phone scams.
Phone and mail.
Spoofing, phishing, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the problem is law enforcement can't do much about it. So
it's one of those ones that falls in between, you know, your local one has, you know, much of the scamming occurs in call centers in Mumbai or in India or wherever else. And they kind of, well, I don't know, what can I do about that?
Right.
And they really don't have the only one who has any of the resources for it is the federal government. And there was at least one big call center.
Yeah.
That was raided and all the people arrested, or at least the principals were arrested. But they can have money sent to non-traceable accounts. And the reason I wrote the article is because, you know, the average person said, well, you know, some old person got scammed, you know, they're probably diminished capacity, or they're gullible, they're dumb, or whatever else. But everyone from the FTC to AARP said, this is really increasing. It's tripled for ones over $10,000. It's not 100 usually, tripled. And it's getting worse and worse. And the individual reason I did it, because I got one of those calls.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, it said, Adams County Sheriff's Department. So I answered. I was going to share with Barbara, and there's Charles Bonneville's home address, last four of your Social Security, but all this identifying information. Said, yeah, what do you want? I said, well, I'm afraid that there's a warrant for your arrest though, for failing to show up for a federal jury summons. I said, well, that's bullshit. Well, sir, you need to. Why is Adams County doing? Well, we've been assigned it, and we don't get to ask the reason why. And they were really good. I mean, they were really, really.
Chuck was in the car. Willie, Chuck was in the car to go meet somebody somewhere to give them
No,
money.
I'm not giving money. What they do is they have you go to Walgreens
And to get a money order.
and get a not a money order, tr wire transfer
Right, yeah.
funds to an account that says Adams County. It's another phony account with a
Right.
name that doesn't sound like a phony account. And they say, sir, you can't leave. Get off this phone call because if you do, we'll have to send a squad car out to arrest you. Or you could get caught. Maybe you'll get to
Well,
what?
here's this is a funny thing. It's like, what?
Well,
So, and they were good. And so here's kind of.
they were so good. And then Julie has more sense. And she said, no, this is just a total scam. Let me call this
But then
individual.
what happened though? But here's because a little bit more detail about how good they are. Because this is so we all think when when your phone rings and it says, Julie Hayden on it, right? You think, oh, it's Julie Hayden. But that's just there is software out there that will allow you to
Right.
put anything you want in there, right? So that's what they're doing. They're putting an Adams County sheriff thing. So the first thing I did is when Chuck is getting this phone, and here's what they did. They kept saying to Chuck, is there someone else with you? And then they said, is that person authorized to hear your private conversations? And Chuck was like, no, she's not. And I'm like, no, stop,
No.
stop, stop. But what how good they are, it was Adams County Lieutenant somebody, right? And so my first thing I did is I get into Adams County, the sheriff's department. I looked, and there was indeed a he wasn't the lieutenant, but there was indeed an officer with that name, but it was a different phone number. So then, I'm trying to tell Chuck, it's like, look, the federal, number one, they don't send squads out to arrest you for not for missing a grand jury summons that they can't even prove that you have. Oh, then the guy, here's the thing, what the guy did then too, remember? So I'm kind of saying, and the guy can hear me saying, Chuck, wait a minute, that just tried to verify this. And he said, maybe she threw it away. They told them, maybe your wife threw the summons away. So why are you even listening to her? But we had another friend this happened to, and this they ended up spending $5,000. What they did is they said, your nephew has been arrested and he's going to go to jail. And it's a very dangerous jail, and thus you can post $5,000 bond immediately. And what they do is they're good, and it showed a bond office. It's the same thing. It showed what appeared to be a legitimate phone number and name of a legitimate law enforcement agency, but they just put that in the phone, right? There's software that lets you do that. And they kept the person on the phone and they had him drive around to various things. And the reason they do that is psychologically now they have the victim. You kind of invested in it, right? You've now been kind of driving around. You're away from your relatives who are saying, I mean, this friend, the daughter was saying, Dad, don't know. Dad, this is, it's a scam. Don't do this, right? And they don't give you time. If you get off the phone, they don't give you time to try to call and verify it, right? So I was there so I could do the calling. And finally, I just called the Adams County Sheriff Department non-emergency. And they're like, nope, that's a scam. They said, we get that all the time.
All the time.
And they said what they did with this that my friend what happened to them was they then did the wire transfer for $5,000. And the thing is the money is then gone,
Yeah,
right?
not a traceable
It's
account.
in a non-traceable account. They can't and even if they could trace it, they can't recover it, right? It's
And
gone.
here's the best part about this. So Judy and I called him, it's just a total scam. And the two guys who are the main scam, they were just laughing. We had you. We had you. Wasn't that great? We
Well,
had
and
you.
here's
And I had to kind of go, yeah, you're pretty good. Oh, yeah, it's great, yeah.
well, and then there was another one where it was Wells Fargo. It said it was from Wells Fargo, right? And it's Wells Fargo, and they're saying, hey, look, somebody has hacked into your account. We need to stop them because they're draining all of your
Your money,
money. And then they said, this is interesting. They said, no, Wells Fargo will never ask for your account information or anything like that. And we're not going to ask for that.
they won't be calling you.
If we get disconnected, here's a number that you can call back, right? And so you're thinking, well, this is that's what Wells Fargo says. Then the next thing that happened is the call gets disconnected. So then Chuck called the number that they gave him. And now a woman answers the phone, Wells Fargo, and it says Wells Fargo, but it's not Wells Fargo. And now she's saying, well, I need to have your account number so I can connect you back with the right person.
Right.
And fortunately, you didn't fall for that. It's like, no, this is a scam. But the thing is that people need to be aware.
Well, and the other thing is a great one, and it was in the Denver Post, and the big one where they sent out this email, and it was a very official looking summons and court filing saying, you know, you failed to make this payment. You either pay X or come down and appear at Denver County Court on September 3rd and so forth. And the amount they're asking for wasn't very much, $6 to $8. So people paid it. And they weren't interested in the $6 to $8. Of course, they take it, but it's to get all that account information, and they send somebody right out to have a huge day on town with all your information. And then on September 3rd, all these people showed up down at the county court, and they're all going, well, no.
We're here for our hearing.
There are literally a couple hundred people.
Right.
And they quote-unquote sent them home, but they didn't go, and we're going to catch these people, because the court has no capacity to do that.
No. Well, and here's some of the things you need to look for. I guess for the research then that you did and that we did into this, basically the number one thing is, if it's a phone number that you don't recognize, don't answer it. Because what happens is a lot of this is automated. If you answer your, I think about it like this, when you're doing like, say, calling for like candidates, I've done that before too, right? A significant number of the numbers you're calling are not good, right? And you don't know this. So these are just automated generated phone calls, and they don't know if the number is a good number or a bad number, right? But when you answer it, it immediately gets flagged as a legitimate number, right? And they then, these companies, sell the legitimate numbers to each other. That's why you got two in a row, right? Then what they do is if you answer, boom, now you're flagged as a legitimate number. If you talk to them,
then you're identified as a sucker.
Well, even if you don't fall for it, you're identified as somebody who engages, which means that they'll at least talk to you, right? And then if you fall for it, then you're going to be targeted forever. And the best way to not get that, it's just, if you don't recognize a number, don't even answer it, because then you sooner or later you're going to drop off their list.
So Julie says, you know, Wells Fargo is not going to contact you directly by the phone. So in comes a call just a few minutes later from Wells Fargo. And so I don't answer it. And it's a message from my personal banker saying, hi, it's Wells Fargo.
But
you know, you're better off taking the message.
Right.
Don't answer the phone. Don't answer a phone you don't recognize. If the people are legit, they'll leave a message for you and call them right back.
Well,
this is a good one, Jacob. This happened to me. I was told that the Denver sheriff will pick me up for not complying with federal jury summons. So I asked, why is the Denver sheriff involved in the federal court? And they said, that's the summons. And they said that that's where it's handled. So I told them that the way it's handled. So I told them that I'm at a restaurant just by chance. My friend
Hannah
is sitting at the table, and I'll ask her. She works for one of the judges at the federal courthouse. Next thing I heard was a dial tone.
Hannah, who was really there, told me there's a lot of this going around. Now the crooks are using county court and DMV offices. Yeah, and like I said, they're sophisticated enough that they have real names. But here's how, like I told Chuck, number one, if the Adams County Sheriff's Department's calling you, you don't want to pick that phone up anyway, right? If it's legitimately an officer.
I picked up 6 months, 8 months ago, I got a legitimate call from the Brighton police saying, we've heard your car was involved in a spender bender backup at a parking lot, and you need to come down here right away to work it out. And get, so I had to go down there, went down there. It's all legitimate, you know.
But still, your advice was great, though. What you want to do is you don't answer it, right? And just let it roll to voicemail.
And not that voicemail won't be a criminal one, too, because hey, I just called this number. You've got to check the number.
Right.
Typically
they're not going to leave a message. If it's a scam.
But no, some of them do now. Yeah, that's another one. They leave the message. And if you call back and they've got You know, scammers waiting online.
That's right.
To and get you.
Some of the ways to tell are just the sense of urgency, right? And a lot of these scams, like you
and
said, Jacob.
Don't get off the phone.
Yeah.
That's a really telltale sign.
You can't get off the phone. You have to stay on the phone. They don't want you talking to other people. And that's why they don't want you getting off the phone to check. I mean, if it's legitimate, because I think that agencies and institutions are becoming aware of this, I think. And so.
No, they're not doing anything about it.
Well, no, they can't. But I think
they
would, I would imagine, I think that if it was really, you know, number one, that they don't just go send people out to arrest you. But if it really was them and you said, look, I just need to verify this. And don't take the number they give you, right? Because they gave you a number to call to verify, right? And it's but I think the thing is, the bigger point is, I mean, Chuck, you're brilliant. You're a brilliant guy. And what they do is they create this. They're taking your money right now. We're on their way. Like you said, Jacob, they're on our way to arrest you right now. If you don't deal with this right now, you're going to be arrested. It's going to be a much bigger hassle. Or in my friend's case, you know, your loved one is about to go into a horrible prison or jail situation unless you do something right now.
Well, you know, well, I have a good friend, an attorney, very prominent. You've heard of him. And he got a settlement for, I don't know, $500,000, $40 million. And then somebody come up saying, you know, I'm representing your client and we need the money because we're, you know, heading to, you know, doing this and that. And, you know, very bright guy. He sent them the money. And then we found out the client saying, well, you owe me $500,000.
Right.
So,
that's.
I don't think that, oh, it could never happen.
Don't think you're susceptible.
Just Jacob was just, you know.
My favorite one, well, the favorite two are. The United Health keeps calling me. He says, you know, you have extra benefits, you know, because I'm on Medicare. And he says, so they asked me, am I on B and C or whatever, you know, it's Medicare B and C. I go, wait a minute, you're my insurance company. Wouldn't you know if I'm on B and C?
Yeah.
And the second thing was, I really did go to jury duty one time down in Denver. And I got to the point where they questioned me, have I ever lied? I go, well, I was once stopped for running a stop sign ticket, and I got to the court, and I went to the city attorney, and they said, well, knock it down to a broken headlight, and it'll only be 2 points instead of 4 points. I said, okay. And he says, well, just sign here. I signed there. So at the jury, I told them the same thing. But when I signed that, that's an affidavit. So I really, you know, that's perjury. Because so the guy says dismissed, and then I went back to the thing.
This guy knows way too
yes.
much.
No, but the best part was I went back to the counter to get, you know, your $3.25 bus fare or whatever it was, and the lady says, you're never going to get another jury summons, you know that, and I have never gotten one since.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
That's a thing to do. You want to come up with something to do it. But I think the thing is, though, that there, and I was reading a column by Martin Maurer, we've had on the show, and he was talking about that this has just really skyrocketed, and it's become very, and I think probably just because AI, right? Imagine a lot of it is AI generated to a certain extent, and they can just call all these numbers, and like you said, they only need to get or more than that. I mean, if they're calling thousands and thousands of people, but they are sophisticated, and that's the thing to be aware of.
Better and better.
I didn't realize that you could program anything you wanted into your phone to show, you know, who it was. And how hard would it be? They just researched, like he said, Jacob's in Denver, so they said, well, they're in Denver court, right?
Yeah.
You're in Adams County. They somehow or another, they knew your phone number was connected to Adams County. So the best advice, number one, is just don't answer the phone if you don't recognize it, because then eventually your number will get dropped off the list. Now it'll get picked up again too, but if you answer the phone, because sometimes you like to do that, right? Chuck kind of like to banter with the people a little bit, and I'm like, that's got you flagged as somebody who will engage. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And their thing is sooner or later, you know, they might get lucky with you. So unless you want the phone calls to keep coming. So, and again, like you said in the column or in your article or the paper said, don't think that you can't be fooled, because you can. So just be skeptical. Because, you know, clearly they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work. Right.
Right.
Right. Well, what other stuff did you have in the.
Well, we've had lots of things. You know, one of the things that's happening was our lead article for this month was a battle that's going to be happening in Denver. And the same thing happened in Lakewood. You know, Democrats have now I've given up on the climate scam quite so much. And now everything's under affordability, right? Oh, we're going to castrate you and your family for affordability purposes. And so they're kind of going, oh, well, they don't like single family neighborhoods. They don't like single families. They don't like families
Right.
at all. So the idea is that we'll change the zoning codes, get rid of all the single family homes, and then put in, duplexes, triplexes, quadruplexes, and, higher and bigger for mass density. And said, look, if you have all these extra ones, it'll destroy your little neighborhood, but that'll be fun, won't it?
Then you move away and we don't have to deal with you anymore.
Yeah, and they pulled this exact same scam, and Democrats are always pulling a scam. And they said, Lakewood, they did it, and then the citizens rose up.
And defeated it.
Well, they defeated it only by they had to go to court because then they said, we're going to contest this. City said, you can't contest it. They had to go to court to say they could contest it, contest it. And, they spent tens of thousands of dollars fighting it. And of course, getting all the bad publicity that all the leftist publications, which is, Channel 9, Kyle Clark, all that, accusing him of wanting to be NIMBYs or whoever else. When it finally came down to the vote, the city overwhelmingly rejected it. Now, whether that's going to happen in Denver, I don't know.
Even though they're crazy in Denver.
I mean, so, and so the single, all the beautiful suburb-like kind of neighborhoods you have, they're going to go because we'll build
And so
triplexes.
that fits in perfectly with Mayor Johnson's State of the City speech, where he's going to give free universal child care to everybody. They're not going to be any children in Denver. So that'll be easy to implement. It's like there'll be like three. And it's like, and what an idiotic proposal, because that works so well on the state level, right? So he's gonna, so maybe that's all part of their evil plan, right? To kind of say, we will give universal free child care to everyone in Denver, except for we have killed all of the single family homes. We have no more children in Denver. We just have homeless people and illegal immigrants.
By
And
the time.
yeah, so we can easily afford all of that. Well, that kind of ties into finally one kind of thing I wanted to play. Marco Rubio, and Jillian Michaels played this on her show, so you'll see her picture, was talking about communism. And I think I saw today there's some subpoenas going out to that Singham guy, the Shanghai billionaire, that, all these people who are espousing communism, you tend to want to say they're just kind of starry-eyed youth, idealistic, they'll grow out of it. That's not the case. They're being well-funded and pushed, I think, by the Chinese government and by other people, other
That's
forces.
part of Marco Rubio's thing. That's what, Cuba's been doing. They don't have a lot of money, but they can support Antifa and everybody else in the United States.
And so what he's saying in the show is, don't be fooled, number one, that these are young idealistic kids seeking utopia. He said there is nothing. Communism is just it's evil. So I just thought it was a great soundbite. So hey, Douglas, if we could please play the Marco Rubio soundbite.
Look, this is what radical leftism is. It may wear various different slogans and ideologies across place and time. They can call themselves anti-capitalist or anti-imperialist or communist or anarchist or Marxist, but the fundamental character is always the same. It's always the same. It is a poisonous resentment cloaked in the language of equality and justice and liberation, an overwhelming need to tear down what greater men have built, to wreck what is beautiful and what is right on behalf of people who are only filled with ugliness and have nothing else to offer the world. Through violence and through terror, they once again seek to impose their ugliness on all of us. The old dogma was wrong. The old dogma was wrong. None of this is driven by idealism. It is not utopian. In fact, it is the opposite. One of the criticisms you sometimes hear of communism, for example, is that it sounds good in theory, but it never works in practice. That's actually not true. Communism does not sound good in theory. The world it envisions for all of us is small, flat, gray, leveled of all exception, drained of all that is good and noble in the human soul. The world it envisions is a world without courage, a world without creativity or ambition. A world without heroes or glory or great causes to strive towards. without a world without miracles, without myths, without men who rise above the rest to do incredible and extraordinary things. And the world communism envisions is a world without God. For these architects of revolutionary violence, the towering achievement of our civilization, for them, it's an unbearable humiliation, a reminder of what they cannot do, and a reminder of what they cannot be.
And I think, you know, that's the thing. It's like you have there's a danger, like with the Democrat Party and the DSA and what they're trying to do. It's like, oh, these are just idealistic kids. And I think we have to remind ourselves, they're not idealistic kids. They're people who are well-funded by people who have just an agenda to destroy.
Well, Bernie Sanders wrote that we just want to do what they do in Scandinavia. And it's a lie, right? Because Scandinavia is not socialism. Scandinavia is a welfare state. Along with a lot of regulations. But it's a capitalist society. The state does not own most of the means of production. It just simply has, and you found out, you know, welfare states tend to work better when you have a homogeneous society. When you don't have a homogeneous society, it doesn't share similar goals, which they found out as they poured in from Syria and Ecuador, Africa and so forth, they found the whole system falls apart. But don't, you know, they only want Medicare for all. You want a hell of a lot more than Medicaid for all. We want no more ICE. Oh, great. You know, that'll work out good. And we just won't have a border. So, you know, and the Democrat majority has always, or the establishment has always placated them. Nancy Pelosi placated AOC. Except those guys are eating their lunch.
Yeah.
Diane Daggett never criticized the DSA or anything else. And she's gone. I mean, for somebody who has been for 15 terms, 15, and no scandal. Ran off with the milkman stuff. Nothing. And she lost by over 10 points. So, you know, maybe they'll wake up, but I doubt it because, you know, the Bolsheviks ate alive the Mensheviks, and the DSA are really the Bolsheviks, and they're just going to rip through.
Yeah, I think the Democrat Party is gone. I mean, what we saw as the Democrat Party. Well, then, Jacob, and this is a good point. This is what they're creating. Jacob, I did see the clip. Jacob sent me a clip. He was following a man. He was in his car, and this guy, clearly a homeless guy, is pushing a wheelchair down the center of Colfax Avenue. So no one could get around him or by him, right? That's vibrant Denver for you.
Yeah, vibrant Denver.
Okay, but at least they'll have free, if he has kids, at least they'll have free childcare under Mayor Johnson. But that's a slippery slope too, because you watch, they'll give you free childcare, so they get rid of all the daycare centers, and then that free childcare is going to indoctrinate your kids, right, to be communists.
Well, childcare, I mean, what fraud deal will they run there?
Right. Well, but I mean, that's what they wanted, so they can indoctrinate your kids. And then if you have wrong think, then maybe you don't get free childcare.
Yeah.
If you don't have free childcare, well, maybe then you don't have children, and then you die out. I mean, there's nothing idealistic about it. So anyway, that will do it for us.
That's it.
That will, and a free wheelchair. That's right, Jake.
Yay.
Hey, thank you to everybody. Hey, just a programming note, we have the last Monday golf tournament of the season. Well, maybe not. But anyway, next Monday. So we will be not doing the show live on.
We will have a show, but it'll be an older one. And we'll try to get a guest host.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it won't be us here. But in the meantime, thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you
next week. Thanks, Ray Garcia. Appreciate you coming on.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Douglas.